If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with Destiny.
Greetings and the love of the Supreme Spirit. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christ. This evening, our seminar topic is, we are traveling at warp speed beyond the known and recognizable. So if you're ready, take a deep breath and call yourself forward into alignment with the divine spirit that you truly are. Let it infuse every single level of your consciousness and permeate you through and through with the divine presence, that loving awareness that is your true self and your true state. And let's chant Q-H-U 3 times and allow that to center and clear the mind and open you more fully to the flow of whatever it is your portion tonight to receive. Deep breath. You. You. Just be totally present and totally here and now. Isn't that delightful? There's no need to be anywhere else, really. So that's a simple way for you to clear your consciousness and center and realign yourself when you feel yourself getting caught up in the blur of events that seem to call for your attention in this world. Speaking of the world, let me ask you a few questions. What if you realized that this was all a dream? That you made it all up? That your life and all that it contains is part of your dream, your own personal dream? What if you knew you could participate in your dream as a lucid dreamer? That you could change the content of your dream? What would you shift in your dream? What would you add or dissolve? Have you ever had a lucid dream? You know, many spiritual paths make a big deal of studying your dreams and viewing them as actual experiences in another dimension or level of consciousness. In lucid dream training, you're taught how you can stop and reverse your dreams. You can turn them into color or black and white. You can change the shape or the form or whatever is manifesting in your dream. And as many of you have found out, you can be Superman or Superwoman in your dream. Because you can play with time and space and appearances and thought forms and the changing thereof at will. And that's all part of a training that many, many disciplines, spiritual disciplines, will have you do and have you participate in. I think the Tibetans have quite an elaborate series of exercises you can do in training yourself to be a lucid dreamer, and other groups as well. So just consider, what if that were true? Well, many of the masters, in fact, all of them that I'm studying with, say that that is true. That our life is really our dream in our creation. And that applies to all the experiences in the daytime, as well as all of your experiences at night. You pass from dream to dream to dream. When you depart the body, you enter into another dream. And you return again into a physical dream. Unless you happen to undo the dream. You can undo the dream when you undo the ego. And the ego is the one that is projecting a dream that outpictures as separation, that outpictures as any form of unhappiness or negativity. So one of the first things that happens when we start to awaken, really awaken, and the Holy Spirit begins to heal our mind and begins to help us undo the ego, is that we go from having negative dreams that are unpleasant or nightmarish or filled with danger or fearful imagery. We begin to shift into having very beautiful dreams, dreams perhaps where you're serving or helping people, or maybe you're teaching, or maybe you're leading bhajans, or maybe you're involved in some devotional scenario. And the dreams will have very beautiful scenery and very uplifting content and interchanges with people. And very often you'll be behaving in that dream very much as you do if you're a teacher or a healer or a prayer warrior, an intercessor, whatever. You'll find yourself doing very similar interactions in the night dreams as you start to awaken. In fact, I was trying to think when I had my last bad dream, and I think it must have been in the 70s. I can't recall having a negative dream since then. So likewise, as you begin to awaken, the daydream that you're living begins to shift also from the ego's nightmare, where you're always seeming to just hang on by your fingernails, you know, through each event and trying to get through and survive whatever it is that your dream is outpicturing. To where you begin to have a really nice life. Maybe you're a light worker, maybe you do yoga, and maybe you meditate, and, you know, you have a nice spiritual community around you. Maybe you participate in your church or your spiritual group, and you're in satsang, you know, you're in the company of people who are on a similar path, and you really have a nice dream, a pleasant dream. And find yourself, you know, feeling really good about your life and about yourself. And you also have a feeling that you're kind of in control, which, again, is that misleading ego trying to tell you that you have a distance to go before you're perfected, and you have a distance to go before you're enlightened, and you have a distance to go. And then it points out all of the things that you have to do to get to that place. That's the ego scenario. It's always keeping you a little short of owning your own perfection and your own divinity and your own purity and beauty. But nevertheless, it's better than living in a nightmare where you're just barely hanging in there to survive from day to day or week to week or sometimes hour, you know, to hour. So the good news is that as you begin to bring more and more of that divine knowing, that divine presence present in you and operating through you, when you learn to listen to that inner guide, which we call the Holy Spirit or the Inner Master, you began to not just launch out on your own, but you began to seek guidance before you do anything. You began to ask and check if you're in alignment with whatever is for your highest good. Is spirit in this, whatever it is that you are planning to do? And if spirit's in it, you'll have a very peaceful feeling about it. There won't be any stress or strain. Because anything that God would have you do is going to be easy. Not that it's easy sometimes logistically when you're working it out in the physical dimension, but it doesn't have an uneasiness element connected to it inwardly. You seem to be able to rise to the occasion, and you seem equipped to handle whatever, you know, shows up. So it's important to check, especially if you don't feel really clear about something. You need to check first to see if it's really in alignment with spirit and for your highest good. Sometimes it's in line for somebody else, but not necessarily you. It may be a very positive, good thing, but it's just not your thing. So that's where we exercise that discernment and we turn to the Inner Master and check. There was something very positive that I was considering getting involved with yesterday. And when I asked about it, it was like, no, that's not for you. You've outgrown that particular approach, that particular involvement. You've gone beyond that. You don't need that. That's going to waste your energy and waste your time. And it was a very wonderful, positive thing. And that was the feedback I got immediately when I checked within. So be sure you're in the cycle of your life where certain things are appropriate. Or have you gone beyond that time, that place, that cycle? And you save yourself a lot of heartache and a lot of confusion if you just get real clear before you act that this is aligned for you and appropriate for you. So, I was asking today, I was thinking about the prayer in the Course in Miracles where it says, I am here only to be truly helpful. And I thought, what in the world can one do to be truly helpful? And I've always thought that to be truly helpful, my dharma was to share the teachings with people and to help them make that divine connection, help them awaken. And I've been doing that for many, many, many years. And then I thought, well, is that truly helpful? Because the real teaching today is Advaita. It's non-dualistic. It's not. It's monism. It's pure awakening to yourself as God. Not that you're, you know, going to go around saying, I'm God, I'm God. That's not the idea. It's self-realization, where you realize the self, with a capital S, is identical and indistinguishable from what we call the Atman, or spirit, or God. So that being the case, there is no other out there to be helpful to. I mean, you know, speaking from the highest level. So the only way to be truly helpful in that context, where God alone is all that is, and everybody you see walking around is simply one of your projected selves. So you're living in a world of your own projections. So how can you be truly helpful in that? You know, I took that into meditation, had some tea with it, contemplated it deeply, had a long, long talk with God. I was kind of disgruntled with the whole thing, to tell you the truth. I was sort of feeling kind of pissy about it. And so what I got was, if I'm helpful to myself, with a big capital S, then I'm helpful to the whole. And how to be truly helpful to the self, the inner self, the God self, again, is to come into cooperation with the clarity of that attunement. What in the world would that look like? Well, I think it would look like being very, very, very honest with yourself. Starting with your personal self. You know, you have to start where you are. And take where you are at this moment and ask yourself, am I aligned with my true self? Or you could say, am I in alignment with spirit? Am I in alignment with the truth of my being? And, you know, many, many people, even light workers, have never really gotten down to the brass tacks of asking themselves questions of this nature. You know, we tend to be followers of other people's teachings, other people's thoughts. Another person in the form of a outer master, a teacher, a guru. And yet every single guru worth their salt is not going to try to make you a follower, but is working to liberate you from following anyone but your own spirit, your own self. Every true enlightened master does not want followers. Does not want disciples. They want self-aware people who walk in the light of their own spirit, their own atmic connection. And so I was reading in the Course in Miracles where something that sometimes we do or think we need to do when we're teachers is to correct people. And I noticed in this lesson I was studying that it said, we are never to correct another person. Correction is only the job of the Holy Spirit. And that kind of, you know, relieved a weight off my shoulders. I mean, I've only studied the Course, you know, since 1979, but I must be a really slow learner. Actually, 1977, I think I got the first three copies that were off the press. Not the first copies, but the first edition is what I'm trying to say. But, you know, it takes whatever it takes to undo the misperceptions in our mind. It's not like a, you know, bada-bim, bada-boom, and it's done. It's like that constant vigilance to discern, is this my ego speaking? Or is it really the voice of the Holy Spirit? And you have to discern sometimes everything before you speak, and definitely before you act, because 9 times out of 10, we're going to go with the habit that we form, you know, the habitual way that we've always done things. And right now, we're moving in consciousness, beyond the known and the recognizable. So we're entering an area where we're going to really need to walk in the light of self-trust. Again, the self you trust is not the image you see in the mirror and not the image you have in your mind, your self-concept, but as defined by the illumined masters, the avatars, the Course in Miracles, Jesus in A Course in Miracles, they all tell you very clearly the truth, what is true and what is not. I was thinking about what Jesus said, actually. He said, to enter the kingdom of heaven, which we define as a state of consciousness, not a place off the planet or in the sky somewhere, the kingdom of heaven is the kingdom of self-awareness or soul consciousness. And children, very young children, get this, they come in without the knowledge of good and evil. They're completely devoid of the knowledge of good and evil. That means they're in a pure state without ego, without judgment, without any sense of guilt or shame or blame or prejudice. That's the state of consciousness we have to be in to move now into this new paradigm, this new state of awareness that we call the Golden Age, the Satya Yuga. And it's beyond anything that we know commonly, collectively, and recognize right now as our world and the way things are. I have to say at that point, hallelujah and thank God. I can't tell you the number of times that I say, I'm so grateful none of this is real. I'm so grateful this is all just a dream. But if you don't know what's beyond the dream, that can be depressing, where you think, God, then, what's my life? Nothing? Like a puff of dandelion of floss? And it's not that at all. It's that the self that we have made up in our mind and the world we have dreamt and projected out of our mind has been like a veil hiding the real world and the beauty of that world. And we're in that process of awakening from the nightmare into the happy dream, which many of us, myself included, are living in right now. Not everybody is in the nightmare state of consciousness. And as more and more of us awaken, nobody wakens alone without affecting the entire collective. So the most helpful thing we can possibly do is wake up. That's what we can do. And only you can wake yourself up. Only I can wake myself up. Each one of us has to get to the point where it gets so intense, so awful, so dark, so I just can't stand it anymore, to where we wake up. You know, like Eckhart Tolle, where he got to the state where he was so bummed out, so depressed, so suicidal, and he said, I can't live with myself anymore. And it shocked him to say that. And it immediately he woke up. Because he asked myself, who is this self? Or he asked himself, who is this self I can't live with? Are there two of me? And you see, sometimes it's just like that. I remember there was a woman, she describes herself as being, just an average woman in New York City, wife, kids, family, middle-aged. She's walking down Broadway one day, and all of a sudden she stopped and she said, I'm a Starfleet commander from Sirius, and I'm on Earth assignment here on this planet. Just like that. Now, being a Starfleet commander from Sirius is also part of the cosmic dream. But hey, it's a heck of a lot better than thinking you're just, Mrs. Schwartz walking down the street in New York City. Buying matzo balls or whatever. You know what I'm saying? So the awakening sometimes happens because the dream is so horrible, so intense, that it shocks you into awakening. And sometimes it's a more gradual, where you're just really asking deeply within yourself, there's got to be something more. If there's a God up there, would you help me find it? Now, sometimes it's that simple. But at some time, some place, you gave wiggle room for that greater something to enter your life. And you have to get to that point. and each person is different. So to be truly helpful to another person that is actually yourself, would be to honestly live your state of consciousness. I used to say many years ago, work, live, and teach at your highest level. And, or live your better self, in spite of yourself. So that people, when they come into your orbit, feel something positive that makes them want to emulate you or ask you or follow you or find out what's going on with you that makes you the way you are. In this world, it might look like a person who's happy and at peace and is not anxious about what's going to happen in North Korea or wherever, who's not worried about what's happening in the government, who's not all agitated and angry and upset every time they turn on the evening news. Don't you think that would be pretty amazing to be with a person like that? And that would be truly helpful. So it's always helpful when you're true to yourself. And I'm not talking about giving in to self-indulgence and the behaviors that distract you from being that better self, but getting very honest with yourself. What is my life about? What's my dream about? You might want to journal it in the third person. It really helps sometimes to get yourself way away from your self-concept and put it in a third-person scenario. What's my dream been about? What is my dream about today? How would I like to tweak it to make it more of a happy dream? Because there's nothing wrong with making your life the happiest and most pleasant and beautiful dream you possibly could make it. And as you start to do that and begin to think of your life as a dream, you know, don't take it so seriously because it hasn't had any real effect on you as a divine being any more than your shadow. So it's meant to be enjoyed. It's a play of consciousness. It's a play of the rising waves of things that happen and dissolve, and then another wave of something happens and dissolves, and then, you know, there's a constant flux and flow and change, and like the ocean. And you can learn as a soul to surf it. You can surf the ocean and not get dragged down into the whirlpools and the rip currents, rip tides. So we can be in this world and be quite happy because we live in a world of our own inner dream field. And when we're fully ready to awaken and see our own face as the face of God and see the faces of others like a little child, without any projection of good or evil, without any judgment, without any guilt or shame or blame, we are living in the kingdom of heaven. We are in the Satya Yuga. We are in that fifth dimension, whatever you want to call it. And also, have you found yourself feeling like nothing makes sense to you anymore? Except maybe your dog or a sunset? And do you suddenly wonder what anything is for? Or what purpose anything serves? Or are you sometimes feeling like you'd literally pay the star beings to take you off this planet and carry you away? Or are you already working on your time machine or your Stargate? I wouldn't advise that, by the way. You could, like many people do, get caught in other dimensions and not find your way back. Better make sure you're under the guidance of a real mystical traveler if you're going to go doing that. A lot of dimensions. Or maybe you're starting to wonder if we are living in a matrix or a computer program that some superior race is watching for entertainment. You know, those are some of the scenarios people imagine. I wouldn't advise you to make yourself into a victim, because according to the Course in Miracles, you but victimize yourself. You're a victim of your own dream, your own imagination. But in highest truth, there's nobody outside of yourself. There's no evil beings trying to, you know, play with you like a gerbil in a on a wheel. So, often that seems to make more sense to some people rather than what we're watching on TV and in the news. And then there's some people that report that they're going through the day feeling more like a zombie in Michael Jackson's Thriller, which brings, you know, up some very funny imagery in my mind. Well, if it's any help to you, welcome to the crowd. At least you may find some comfort in knowing you're not alone. But better, let's get used to not having a clue about what's going on, and enjoying whatever you can enjoy in each moment. Because the truth is, we're not in control, and we've never been really in control, ever. Even though this is our dream, we think we're the victim of it. We project it out in the world and think we're a victim of the world. Or we project it on the government and think we're victims of the government or the president or the aliens or whoever or whatever. I mean, the ego is very clever at telling you how you are a victim of something outside of yourself, because it doesn't want you to find that you are the creator, because then the ego's undone. So we are not in control, never have been. Though we are such control freaks, we all like to think and act as if we are in control. We'd rather appear cool and in control rather than humble and vulnerable. And yet in the Course in Miracles, it states that only when we are totally vulnerable, that is, innocent of attack thoughts, are we 100% safe. Invulnerable, they call it. That's an interesting thought, isn't it? The Course in Miracles also says that trust would solve every problem now. So let me ask you, who do you trust? I hear some of you saying Jesus. Some of you just said the Ashtar command, Ashtar. Some of you said Lord Sananda. Some are saying the mystical traveler. A lot of you are saying Sai Baba. I didn't hear any of you say yourself. You know, someone asked me that question one time, and I had to say the one that I trust more than anyone in the entire universe is myself. I know I am trustworthy. So how can I know that? Only because I've experienced the self. The self that's beyond the facade, beyond the dream, beyond the self-concept, beyond the body, the ego. And that self that I trust is identical with Sai Baba, with Ashtar, with a mystical traveler, with the Holy Spirit, with God, with Jesus, with any other divine name. And you find that self, however you find it. But I know when you really want to find that place inside yourself that is unshakable, that you can absolutely trust, whether or not you're in a body. You know, we think we're in a body. We're not in a body. And so when you find that self and you trust it, you're no longer feeling like you're in any way subject to anything outside yourself. Oh yeah, we live in the same corporate dream. We all have to pay rent or mortgage. We all think we have to eat. We all have a life that doesn't look wacky. I mean, you know, you got to show up and do life in a way that's not crazy looking. Because if you look totally bonkers, that's not very helpful. People don't consider that very exemplary, that they would want to follow crazy looking behavior. So there's a normalcy and an ordinariness and a humor that comes with being awake and aware and in the world at the same time. It doesn't look goofy. Eccentric, yeah. It could look a little eccentric. I remember Jack Hislop, a very, very great devotee of Sai Baba. He meditated every day at 6 p.m. And very often people would come, you know, as dinner guests, or they would, they would eat earlier, but they'd still be at the table at 6 p.m., maybe talking or whatever. And whoever was there, whatever was going on, he'd get up immediately and say, I have an appointment with God. No explanation. I have an appointment with God. And he'd get up, go back in his bedroom, and meditate. Now, that looks a bit kooky, right? That's a little bit eccentric. And so we do that. But that's part of doing what you have to do what you have to do to be who you are and to manifest the truth of your being, if that's what that is. So yeah, some of the stuff we do looks very odd. I think my life is probably pretty eccentric, but fortunately I'm alone most of the time, so nobody can see my crazies. All I can say is I definitely don't live in the world that most people who come to visit me live in. But I don't let them know that, because that would be rude and make them feel, you know, like they were wrong. And that's another thing. If you would be helpful to someone, never tell them they're wrong. A Course in Miracles, Jesus tells us that you cannot cure an insane person by pointing out their insanity, but only holding the vision of their sanity. And that's difficult. He also says we should never tell a brother or sister that they're wrong. Brother or sister meaning anybody. We shouldn't tell them they're wrong. They may be acting insanely. And if they're in the ego, they are acting insanely. But we still can find a way to be with that person where we don't make them wrong. Because when we judge somebody or something going on that they're doing, we have literally condemned ourselves to go through that same experience. Because everything you do and say and give to another, you immediately receive the fruit of that action. It may take a little while for it to come forward in your life in the timeline, but it will. Sometimes, unfortunately, you reincarnate in that condition that you just judged. We don't want that to happen to anyone that's listening. So, judge ye not, lest you be judged. It will be meted out to you exactly in the same degree and measure that you have meted it out to another, to quote Jesus in the Bible. And that's, you know, a fancy way of saying what, you know, goes down comes around. So but judge ourselves. And whatever we do to another, we have done to ourselves. So here you come into the Buddhist practice of metta, M-E-T-T-A, loving compassion. Kindness, where you give the exact blessing that you would have for yourself. There's beautiful prayers in the Buddhist tradition for metta. For example, I wish you, may you be healthy. I bless you with health. I bless you with well-being. I bless you with a peaceful mind. May you be happy. May you be peaceful. May you have a sense of well-being. You know, things like that. Whatever you would want. And those are truly unselfish prayers, which will do more for you than you can possibly imagine. Very often, particularly we Christians will tend to pray like we want to pray away certain behaviors in people. We want to change them. Dear God, please make my husband more understanding. Dear God, please make my friend stop criticizing me. You know, stuff like that. And what we're doing is drawing those negative qualities to ourselves, almost like a form of a curse. And that's the misuse of prayer. Better the Buddhist approach of metta. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May all be well with you. May good fortune be upon you and your home and your family. May you have great abundance. I bless you that all will be well with you. All those are powerful, powerful prayers. And now, the important thing for us to do is pray very unselfishly for all the beings and all the worlds to be happy. In Sanskrit, the prayer is Samasta Loka Sukhino Bhavantu. And some of you pronounce it Loka Samasta Sukhino Bhavantu. Doesn't matter. The idea is may all the beings and all the worlds be happy. And to chant that mantra every single day, as much and as often as you possibly can, because that will greatly minimize not only your situation coming into the earth changes, but minimize the earth changes which are scheduled to occur at this time as we move into this new vibration we call the new earth. We are in the transition phase of labor where the contractions are coming fast and hard and furious in the forms of storms and tornadoes and earthquakes and volcanic eruption and sinking holes and all sorts of stuff coming down on the planet now to shift and awaken us. And, you know, dislodge us from our self-importance and our self-concern and all the nonsense we spend our time doing each day. And we all know what that is, to be so into ourselves and into our stuff and in our little personal dramas that we're completely oblivious to metta, you know, loving kindness, service, you know, reaching beyond ourselves to make others happy. We're so concerned with being happy ourselves sometimes that we don't realize that we can't be happy unless we really make it a lifestyle in, you know, making others happy, doing what we can to be pleasant and kind and accommodating and helping where we can. Again, the Course in Miracles said that forgiveness is our key to happiness. But the forgiveness that the Course in Miracles and Sai Baba and Jesus are teaching is not where you make what they've done real, but where you look right beyond it. Yeah, they've just acted like a, you know, a schmuck. But you've got to look beyond that. Forget the schmuck. Look beyond. Realize that this person is yourself. This person is another of yourselves, objectified into otherness. And do the best you can to look past to the purity and innocence of that soul. It's hard. I have to tell you, it's not easy. We like so much to make a big deal out of what somebody did to us and then rise up in our ego's magnificence and say, oh, but I forgive you. That's not forgiveness. That's, you know, that's the arrogance of the ego again. So true forgiveness in the way the Course views it is to look beyond, to overlook the flaws, to overlook the flaws. Baba takes it a little bit further, Sai Baba. He said that we should pay attention to our flaws, our little flaws, as if they were very big flaws, and the flaws of others to be nothing, as if they were very, very unimportant. And so, I think a lot of us are on our case. I know we're striving to live a life of kindness and service and compassion and nonviolence. We're probably our worst critics. But we think that's humble sometimes to speak about how messed up we are. But you see, that's another one of the storylines of the ego. You're not messed up. You've never been messed up. You've never even been here. You've never been in a body. You have never been born. It's impossible that you could ever cease to exist. You know, this is the truth. And so you've dreamt this whole thing and made it up. And you're awakening now. And when you fully awaken, there is no recognition that could be compared to what you see today when you look at the news or look at the world situation. All of that will completely be changed with the internal change that has been going on with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon all. All on this planet is being drenched with the nectaring love and revelation power of the Divine Spirit. It has a different effect in each person because each curriculum of awakening is very individual and unique and appropriate for you within your life, your understanding. and what works for you. But I would say it's a gradual lightening of your burden and of coming into a sense of greater and greater well-being and joy and happiness. And you find yourself getting so innocent and gentle inside. You get so gentle you don't even want to squash a bug. You get so gentle that you can't even form a harsh word. It just won't even come out your mouth anymore. You don't feel the same anger and the same kind of reactions that you had before. You're gradually being transformed from within by the Holy Spirit. The correction and the transformative power is not what you're doing. Actually, it has nothing to do with you but your willingness to let it happen. Your request to truly see, to truly have the eyes of your heart opened, to truly see things as they really are, as God sees them. God sees everything as absolute perfection and love. That vengeful, wrathful, punishing, keeping score, damning you to hell version of God is a God that man made in his own image and likeness in a distant past. That is not the God that Jesus reveals as the Father, his Father, our Father, our Creator, knows nothing of the judgment and vengeance of the God and the world and the state of consciousness that we call the human condition today. He has only seen us in truth. And in truth, he but sees his one self, embodying through the many as love, as compassion, as peace, as joy, as happiness. And God's will for us, according to the Course in Miracles, is only this. God's will for us is perfect happiness and peace. And our only function here, while we're in this dream of otherness, is forgiveness. Forgiveness, looking beyond, looking past, or offering all of your confusion, your hatred, your dislikes, your inability to live consistent with love, all of that stuff you offer to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit corrects it and returns the gift of light and truth to your mind. So the truth that the Holy Spirit reveals to you then corrects all the errors in your mind. Everything that you have projected outside of yourself in judgment and blame and criticism and slander and gossip and mean-spiritedness and nasty words and hateful thoughts, all of that stuff is corrected as you keep offering it to the Holy Spirit for correction. And it's as simple as saying, you know what? I'm so mad at that person, I could just tear his head off. I don't like the way I'm feeling. I don't want to feel that way. Holy Spirit, please, take that. Take that. Correct my mind. Correct my vision. And transform all the hatred and nastiness in me into your love and peace. And it's done. That's your bada bim, bada boom. And wow, you will feel such a release when you do that. So you don't hang on to this stuff and worry it to death like a dog with a bone. You hand it over. You release it to the Holy Spirit for correction. That becomes your go-to. That becomes your modus operandi. Because the minute you start to wake up, it's like the Holy Spirit has got your case. He's on your case. He'll do everything in its power to convince you that God's a liar, that God doesn't love you, that God is judging you, God's going to punish you. You know, he brings up all that nonsense. And the other thing he does, he tries to create situations in your life that are so in your face, vivid, that he can say, you see, God doesn't care. You see, God doesn't love you. You see, God is punishing you. All this stuff in the Course of Miracles and baloney. See, you know, God, if he exists, doesn't care about you. That's the ego talking. That's the ego lying and always trying to insinuate that God, if God exists, is a liar. So be on to his game. Be aware of that. And turn to the Holy Spirit and say, the liar is trying to talk to me, but I'm not going to listen to the liar. You tell me. You correct my mind with truth. Show me how to see through the eyes of God. Show me how to love through the heart of God. Show me how to listen with the ears of God. Show me how to be the presence divine in this and all the worlds. Let me be an embodiment of your love, your peace, your grace, right here, right now. Use me as that conduit. And you know what? Bada bim, bada boom, it's done according to your will and wish, which is united as one with God, that you have peace and happiness. So that's, you know, what we're here doing. The purpose and the use of time is to allow you to choose again. Time is an illusion, but the positive use of time is to look beyond the body, the world, the behavior of other people, the behavior of yourself, and forgive. Look past. Look beyond. Disregard. Look to the truth. That is the living Son of God. That is the living daughter of God. That is the beloved in that form. And I'm not going to pay attention to anything else. I may be mad. I may be seething with rage and outrage and all the passions of the mind. But I'm going to turn to the guide that's sure and trustworthy, which is within my own self. And that is the Holy Spirit. Right under your chin, right in your heart. There dwells God Almighty, manifesting through the Holy Spirit. Absolute truth. Absolute understanding where you are in your divided mind, but only paying attention to what's real and true. But bridging all of our inadequacies, all of our laziness, all of our inabilities to perfection. And that's why it says in the Bible that the Christ completes whatever we start. It is the Christ that completes it. And our completion through the Holy Spirit is entering into an entirely new world of complete peace and love and joy. And when you enter that state, there is no other world. All that was before, like it says in the Bible, every tear is wiped away, and all that was before is no more. You have a new heaven and a new earth, but they're not outside of yourself, and yet you will experience them as tangibly as you experience the world that you see when you turn on TV today. seems unbelievable, so you have to take it on trust. That's what Jesus says. That's what Sai Baba says. That's what Maharishi says. That's what all of the enlightened masters have said. And I'm sticking with their story. So far, as I have understood and practiced these teachings, it definitely works and validates itself. So be prepared, because it's now so manifesting, regardless of what it looks like. It is so glorious what is manifesting now. And Sai Baba has told us, and I heard it in his physical presence as he was speaking, that not a hair on the heads of anyone fully rooted in loving devotion is going to be touched with the earth changes that are obviously coming down on the planet now. So keep yourself firmly rooted in the divine presence. Chant, hew, whatever you need to do to keep yourself connected consciously and in the peace of God, in the presence of God. And leave everything else to God. It's not your duty to correct it or fix it. The most helpful thing you can do is stay in the presence and in your loving heart. So, I hope this has been helpful. I listen carefully when these messages come through me, because I need to learn. And the only way you can learn is teaching. You teach what you would learn, and you learn what you would teach. So teach only love, because that is who you are. That's a quote again from Jesus in the Course in Miracles. So let's raise our hands and send our blessings. All beloved beings of this and all of the worlds, may you be happy. May you be peaceful. May you feel great joy bubbling up from within. May all be well with you. May auspicious happenings surround you and bless you everywhere you find yourself. And may you awaken to the divine love that you truly are. And may you find that in highest truth, you've never left the heart of God. And let's go out chanting on I Hear. Deep breath. On I Hear. Loving namaste to each one of you.